And we have a quorum with Cecilia Montalvo, Lori Miller, Bill Rice, Iggy Fedoroff, and Cece Lamelli will be joining us in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to stand here and pledge allegiance. And if the rest of you will join us, that would be good. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of America, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and
justice for all.
Okay.
I went through that too. I
grew up in a military base.
So we'll wait until Bruce Gibson joins us for the...
Somebody's joining. Somebody joins. I'll call him.
Okay. Anyway, why don't we go ahead to the meeting minutes, and when Bruce joins us, he can say a few words about the proclamation that he signed and that's in your board packet.
Do you want this on the screen?
No, that's not necessary.
Okay. The proclamation.
Okay. So does anybody have any additions, deletions to the minutes? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve them as written.
Move to accept.
Okay, Bill Rice moves to accept. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, Lori, seconded.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Iggy Fedoroff?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Lori Miller?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Okay, and then Cece will join us. Let's go ahead and move into the operations report. Does anybody have any questions? Or Tim, do you want to amplify or clarify anything? I know you sent me something on Unit 18.
Yeah, so there, Unit 18 was in the shop for the heater core, and it came back. So we had to pay for the parts for the heater core replacement. But we have not paid for the service because the service company that did the repairs didn't actually fix the unit. And so I'm in negotiations or talking with a person from Red Sky who said at this time they're not charging us for the repairs because they didn't actually do anything to fix the unit. So that's that.
What about the parts? But we
have to pay for the parts, but not for the services that were rendered.
Oh, that's right. It's not under warranty anymore?
No, 18 is long out of warranty.
Okay.
And then Unit 16 was in the shop for some repairs. It required to go back to the shop for some secondary. We got it back and then had to go back in for some more repairs. Part of the repairs that went back in for were covered underneath warranty from the first $3,000 job. And then there was other parts that weren't covered. So that's now back in service. And Unit 17...
Okay, but it wasn't another $3,000.
No, it was not. It was only...
I think you clarified there was only another $1,500.
It was another $1,500, yeah.
Okay.
And then 17 will be discussed at a later date.
Okay.
And I'm sure that everybody's curious. To date, we've had 57 incidences and 16 transports.
In February.
In the month of February.
Wow.
How many transports?
16.
Oh, 16 transports, sorry. 57 calls, 16 transports.
Yes.
Okay.
As of the 16th.
As of 20 minutes ago. And then the only other update I have is for Project Heartbeat. They have, I've been in contact with them. They have the paperwork turned in, and they're working on getting a check for the reimbursement for the ballistic gear back to the district as soon as possible. But it's coming.
Okay. Any questions for Tim? Okay, we'll move on to the ops report. I'm sorry, the administrator's report.
All right. Sorry, my glasses are fogging a little bit. Basically, you've got my hang on, I'm doing it. The administrator's report. we're still working on the public assistance grant funding. That's the kind of the main thing at the top of my, or at the beginning of my report. Worked on some more today. Jeremy's been a great help. The lady of FEMA has been a great help. And probably by the end of this week or early next week, she'll be able to give me some more clear estimates of what we're looking at as far as money and timeline. So we're getting real close to that.
This is the one where we expect to get the money within 90 days after everything's
funded. Approximately, yeah. She said it should take about 90 days-ish to see. And it's what they call a project, so it's evolving. Like, once we do that, then we'll submit an update, an update, and an update, and continue to receive funds till the actually after the disaster declaration is over.
Okay.
So this is just like the beginning. Not all just right. It won't be just a, and it's not a like a competitive grant like we've done in other things. It's more of a you've done this, so you deserve these funds type of a thing.
Okay.
So it's pretty pretty nice. She's been very, very helpful. You've got some recent stats for COVID as far as our county and our district area. The numbers are starting to improve. Today, the latest I saw today, that the county was close to moving from purple to red tier, which is an improvement, which gives you a little more relaxed restrictions on the state businesses and things like that. But it didn't quite, we didn't quite make the mark. So a few more days or a week, and you know, if things keep trending the way they are, hopefully we'll see some other activity. The trust, you've got the balance there. We didn't receive any donations in January. I reported previously that this community power resiliency grant we were was denied, but we're not done. It's not over yet. CSDA is lobbying to loop back with the state and try to find out why the small business, because it wasn't just us. CCSD also did not get, they were denied as well on the same grant. So they're trying to find out what the story is, and there may be an appeal in the process. I'll give you more on that later.
Mike?
We did finish Mike,
Oh, sorry.
Mike, could you just briefly explain what that is? Because I'm not familiar.
What the
power results.
There was a grant they put out. It was a very quick thing. They gave us like 2 weeks to fill out the application. It was a short form thing to provide for essential services like us the ability to have backup power, either solar or a generator in the event of a planned outage or a disaster or whatever. And so we put it in there and
got we applied for solar.
We applied for solar because they said you'd get extra points if it was green.
Well, I'm familiar. Now I know what it is.
So we'll see. We'll look back on that. I'm still working on that. Then the AFG grant applications both have been submitted. Thanks to a great bit of help from staff and Lori and everybody. We've got that in the hopper. There's two of them, one for the power load systems and the other one for an ambulance. So that's in the
did we end up requesting two ambulances or one?
One. We decided that Lori and we had conversations with our FEMA reps and it was decided we would go for one. We stood a better chance with the one.
So then we can dump the other one if the board decides that's appropriate?
Yes. Yeah. And actually that's what Tim was alluding to. Next month we'll have more information. We're gonna go to property and facilities. We have new information that is 17th, I think.
Yes.
Is dying on the vine, as it were. It's out of service. It's probably permanently, or not probably. It's got the death rattle. Engines do. So, but more on that later. As far as the financial reports are, you know, you've got some notes there for me as far as regarding current January tax or financial reports. Our tax revenue was up more than budgeted. Part of that was just a catch up from December. They're still lagging. Just minutes before this meeting, I got an update from the County Tax Assessor's Office, which I forwarded to Bill and Iggy at the Finance Committee. I mean, literally 5 minutes before this meeting, so they haven't had a chance to see it yet. But we do have some information from them as far as what we can expect between now and the end of the fiscal year and when we can expect that. We miscellaneous income had about $5,000 in it that was not budgeted because we got paid for a Diablo Canyon drill that we did. So that was nice. You've got fleet maintenance with Tim's report kind of alludes to as far as that goes with Unit 16. Medical equipment supplies is related to COVID. That's nothing new. Our call volume went up slightly, not a lot, but compared to December, we're pretty happy with that because December was down, as you know. So we're up on call volume, and even though our transports decreased compared to last year, but only 1.8%, which is pretty negligible. Revenues down 6.7% and below budget, 27, almost 28% below last January. Probably because of December. December we took a hit. Monterey, there was 3 more calls in January. We just got checks yesterday, I think, today from Monterey. So it says that they're being processed. The checks came. So four of the incidents.
Yeah, they sold 6,000. They owe us 15. They owe us for one.
They owe us for one more. So four of the five. And then you've got an update on my performance objectives for the fiscal year. I think that's pretty.
And then do you want to mention your discussion with Cecilia today?
Let's see. About
measurable standards for patient care quality.
I did see them. Of course, Cecilia, she probably hasn't had a chance to read my email yet. I sent her an email. She had sent me some dialogue on our on this stuff, you know, on my performance objectives, and I replied back with some detail. So we're working on revising those.
Yeah, the part that starts with develop, deploy, and implement a measurement tool for employee satisfaction.
And in a nutshell, I've talked with Tim about some of this stuff. We're doing some of it, but I want to be able to package it in a reportable format to the board. Some of this we're doing, some of it we're not, and we need to do. But I need to kind of put all that together in a presentable package, and I will. And then we'll talk about there's a 360 review process that we'll talk about later. Any questions so far?
Just a comment, Mike, and I saw your email, but I admit I was outside, and so I haven't looked at it in detail. I think the two things that I would just note is if we are, and it sounds like we are reporting on the core measures that are collected and reported at the county level, but the board doesn't have any visibility of that. And so I think that, you know, the strategic plan was something that, you know, articulated the board's priorities, and I think the board is very desirous of understanding more about quality of care. That's still very important. So I think that it's terrific if that data is readily available, and look forward to figuring out how to make that something that the board sees and understands.
And as some of the other board members will recall, we have annually had a report from the county's quality assurance person, which we haven't had in, 2 years?
Yeah, we didn't have it last year, and I wasn't here the year before.
Yeah.
So because of COVID, they're understaffed also currently.
So normally we've had an annual thing. So I guess what we need to do is go to some sort of maybe a written report.
I think that usually occurs in March or April.
February, March timeframe is when it used to occur. Is that, Lori, do you remember?
Yeah, and they had a representative come and present the data. So I don't know why they wouldn't be able just to forward the data to us to interpret.
I'll reach out to them for March.
Right.
I'll do that on my to-do list.
Okay. And then we'll have it as a agenda item.
Yeah.
I also want to just make a distinction between the administrator's performance evaluation process and employee satisfaction. I feel that those are two different things.
Yes. And then that email to you, you know, I discussed, and I want to, you know, this is just a tip of the iceberg kind of thing, but patient satisfaction as well. I want to look into a survey process or whatever to get feedback from our patients and their caregivers as to, you know, how we're doing, how we're perceived to do, and things like that. So I think that all kind of ties in together.
Perfect. That's great.
Any other questions for Mike on his report?
Something related to it. Mike, you're now doing weekly updates and weekly reports to the board of the activity that's going on during the month. I'd like you to add to that the number of transports as we go along in the month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, kind of a cumulative total of where we are with transports.
Okay. Those are a weekly activity report I do on Fridays, but I can do that, you know, week by week. It'd be a little, you know, how we're doing update, current status report of call volumes and stuff. That'd be easy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Making a note.
All right. So now Bill Avery has joined us, and CC Lamelli has joined us at 5:48. And CC is attempting to connect to audio. And Bill Avery just wants to sit silently by.
You're muted.
We rest our case.
He's on the
mute. We rest our case. Well, at least I'm glad to see you, Bill.
There you are.
See you, Iggy.
See, you can't see me smile.
That's true. Well, I can see the little crinkles around your eyes. So I know you're smiling.
Botox isn't working.
Come on, there's CC. Hello, CC.
Okay. You can, all right. So we want to move into the financial reports. We still don't have Bruce Gibson, and he's not waiting to get in. So we shall wait further. Does anybody have any questions about the finance reports? Or Mike, do you want to say anything more about it? I have one question, and I should have asked it during the finance committee meeting, but I didn't. You have a mark off to the right-hand side on the green bar chart, you know. Why is that red mark over there? Is it just a spurious?
No, I believe.
It should be removed because it's highlighting the IT support.
Okay.
It's just an error.
Okay.
Okay. Easy to fix.
It's a red herring.
Correct.
Oh, brother.
Okay, so as I remarked last month, and I'll make a correct remark this month, because Bill corrected me in my assumption, January cash on hand in 2021 is $81,000+ more than we had on hand in 2020, which is good from a number of aspects. Now, I would like to also comment regarding the trust account. Since that amount at the end of January was shown, I have issued a check to the district for close to $15,000 for the painting done on ambulance number 21. Mm-hmm. So the effective number now, today, as we speak, is more along the lines of $11,000, not $26,000. And I guess I'll wait till President's report to talk a little bit more about that. Are there any questions about check detail or anything else from a financial standpoint?
I was just curious, who is Dempsey Silver and Associates?
What's that, DFA?
I'm sorry, that's the DFA, that's who it is. I didn't remember their full name. That's the actuary that prepared a report for the auditor. They're part of that audit process, but they're an actuary. They're a little bubble.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, moving on to committee reports then. President's report. What I'd like to say is that I'm getting feedback. Okay, so I reached out to Cindy Stidell and to Steve Smith at the school district to talk about whether or not we should meet as we did, about a year ago, I suppose, regarding common issues among the three government districts in the area. And I've held off meeting until the board approved and the county called upon us to help with administering vaccines. And I think then there will be an issue, but to this point, no one has really responded that there is any particular issue that they want to talk about. That's one item. Second item is I've held off going after any additional funds for the trust simply because I would like to see a need emerge. For example, let's say that we get turned down on a grant for an ambulance or a grant for something else that we hope to get at this point, but then get turned down for. Then we, I think, have a project that we can go to the community and say, we need your help, and here's what we need it for specifically. And I think before she left, Barbara, you know, really essentially said the same thing, is that you can't just ask for funds like sort of in general. It helps to have a specific objective for fundraising. And that's what I'm waiting for. That's all I have. Anybody have any questions for me with regards to any of that or anything else? Okay, property and facilities then. Lori Miller?
We didn't meet this past month.
Okay. Anything you want to add? Oh, yeah.
Do I want to add? We'll probably be needing to meet this coming month.
Okay.
How's that?
I'll write that down. and I saw where Mike is going to furnish some stuff regarding veneer construction to you.
Yeah, I just got that. I haven't had time to read through it. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to.
All right. Healthcare advocacy and outreach, Cecilia?
The committee did not meet this month, but I imagine we will convene a meeting next month. I talked with Barbara Bronson-Gray, and she is interested in remaining on that committee, if that's acceptable to the board.
No.
I don't see why not.
Sure. No problem.
Mm-mm. Okay. Without objection. Finance, Bill Rice.
We did have a finance committee meeting in the last month here. The main goal was to develop the mid-year budget update, which we did, which will be presented later on in the agenda.
Okay. Grants, Lori.
So as Mike said, we successfully submitted two grants to the AFG funding cycle, so fingers crossed. I have no idea when they're going to notify us of anything. So hopefully by summer, we'll have some indication.
Okay. Strategic planning, Cecilia?
I think as we've discussed that this committee, if you will, really effectively is the whole board. And I think it's would make sense for me. I don't know if this should be a monthly report, I guess is what I'm saying. Strategic planning, perhaps, since it's now included in Mike's update, an actual report or a meeting feels like a once a year sort of thing, since we don't really expect to change the strategic plan more frequently than that. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay, so, but But I mean, it's just each of the standing committees, you know, it's good to touch on them each month. So if there's nothing to report, well, there's nothing to report. But on the other hand, based on the need to include, let's say, facilities, you know, something that might come up with regards to facilities, there might be need to change the strategic plan. I don't know. I will say, by the way, I did verify, not only by checking with the San Simeon Community Services District, but also with a member of their community in San Simeon, that they did in fact get a flyer out with our strategic plan on it.
Okay.
And I did have correspondence from John Weigold at CCSD that he was going to get a hold of Mike this week and let him know how much he was going to charge us to send out the strategic plan. So we don't have that information yet. I presume he didn't get a hold of you today, Mike.
No.
No. Okay. So if there's a nominal cost involved, I think we can just approve it. If it's substantial, then maybe I'll have Mike send an email to all the directors and maybe we'll get an email vote on whether we should spend that money. Does that sound reasonable to everyone?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So still no Bruce Gibson.
No, I just tried texting him, but I didn't.
Maybe, you know what we should do?
Look, if you could.
Rather than just keep
display it.
Moving it. Yeah, can you display it?
Yeah. I can bring it up on the screen and then we can talk about it. It's already signed, so.
Yeah, it's signed. And I guess everybody's seen it in the board packet.
He's here in spirit.
Yeah. So,
share screen.
Lori tipped me off that the crews did some really amazing work during our storm. And so after talking to Mike and Tim, Mike and I worked up this proclamation and then Bruce tweaked it some and signed it to thank our crews for the fast and dedicated job they did in addressing 17 calls, mostly outside our district.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then I guess at one point I thought there were 6 transports, so that's what's in the in the write-up. But then I think Tim corrected that to 5.
Correct.
But
there was 5 outside of our area and 1 that was in our area.
Oh, in our area. So there were still 6.
There were still 6.
Yeah. Anyway, so Bruce was going to come on and talk about this for a few minutes, but apparently he didn't get through with his other meeting. The other thing is, just for information for you and the crews, Blake Fixler is going to make a nice document that we can then hang in the crews' quarters.
Yeah, he's going to print it on nice,
fancy
paper.
So anyway,
all that frameable.
That's what that was all about. Anybody have any questions about that?
No, I just want to say congratulations again to Tim and the crew.
Yeah, thank you.
I would like to also reiterate that, but can we possibly make copies of this and make sure that every crew member gets their own copy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Especially when I get the nice one, we make color copies of it.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, then moving on to agenda item E1. Mike, and then we have Bill Avery here with us, and Jeff to weigh in on the matter of taking the crews taking work-related images.
Oh, there it is. Why? That's my return. That'll make your hit spin. Aha, there we are.
Yeah, so just move on to the...
There's the...
Yeah.
There's that. And we should be able to zoom in. Ah, there's the zoom.
Sorry, everybody's got...
Okay.
Got this.
Okay. Right.
You want to kind of outline how we...
Sure.
How we came to this point?
Yeah, we...
Because this is much different than what we've been presented before as a board.
Yeah, this is a prelude, and then I'll have Bill fill in the gaps here, Bill Avery. We did meet with the employee group representative and hammered out a agreement that they are comfortable with, and Bill and I were comfortable with, and we bring it to you to see if you're comfortable with it. But essentially, this is what and understand, this is just the piece that of the social media policy that has been in contention. There is a full policy of other things related to appropriate computer use and station, things like that.
But that's not controversial.
That's not controversial. But it looks very brief, but that's because it is just that piece.
Okay.
So, Bill, Avery, would you like to add any comments? And then, of course, Jeff, too, because he's reviewed these things for the legal side.
Sure. Sometimes less is more. We had all these convoluted language and talks about protocols and approvals and everything else. And then Mike and I stopped and talked, what is it we want? We said, we want to make sure that nothing they do with any personal cameras or phones will compromise patient care or privacy. And that's really what we wanted. So this just says that. So they cannot do anything with a personal camera or phone that compromises patient care or privacy. Anything involving work-related items, which is patient care, has to be taken on district equipment. And we, of course, have ownership of that and keep it. And we have a separate section, which you've seen before, which says to the extent they're doing things for their own social media, which they're entitled to, none of that can compromise patient care or privacy. So that's what we wanted, and that's what we've got, and I think we're in pretty good shape here. And again, sometimes less is more.
Jeff, do you want to add anything?
No, I think it's a good result, and I think that the simplicity of it makes sense, and that's probably why Bill and Mike were able to work out an agreeable solution with the union. So that's a great result.
Okay. Any comment from any board members?
I actually don't have a problem with it being brief, so getting straight to the point is certainly acceptable. It makes it easier to read.
Why don't you take it off the board so we can see everybody?
Sure.
Yeah.
There we are.
I guess, and I know that this is something you've worked on a lot, so I want to show an appreciation for that. And also, I understand that it has been a difficult conversation at times. In addition to clear HIPAA violations, which I think sounds like we're all in agreement that anything that would be patients identifiable would be completely unacceptable, I think that one of the issues that had concerned me and I think some other board members in the past was that while some of the posts that the union would do on their website were not probably technical HIPAA violations, I thought that they ran the risk of potentially being embarrassing to people or just insensitive, that when they're responding to an emergency involving our residents, that showing the sensitivity that I don't know that our residents expect any image of that incident to appear anywhere. And for the most part, truthfully, they've done a really nice job with that site. I think it projects all the right messages 90% of the time. But I just am not sure that this, despite all the hard fought work, and I'm not necessarily saying that I would vote no, but it just doesn't get to that issue about, I just don't feel like actual incidents should be photographed and put on the internet. I don't know if you want to comment, Bill.
Sure. They have separately agreed that anything they want to put on their website, number one, has to identify it from them, not the district. So they've agreed to that. They've also agreed there'd be no such thing as anything which identify a patient or a license number or even a house number. So the stuff they put on so far is actually probably beneficial from a social media standpoint, but they have absolutely agreed they cannot violate anyone's privacy or do anything inappropriate and absolutely do nothing which would jeopardize patient care. So I think we've gotten to where we want to be.
I'm sorry, maybe I wasn't clear. I understand that you've addressed that issue. I guess what I'm asking you, and I do think that there have been times that the things that they have posted, that even though they're not technically patient identifiable, I think that they convey images of accidents or difficulties people are having with their home or whatever it is that are inappropriate. I don't think if I call 911 for whatever reason, I don't expect to see a photograph of what's going on at my house, even if I'm not in it, to appear on the internet.
They cannot identify the house under what we've agreed to. They cannot identify a house. To the extent it's on Main Street and 3,000 people can see it, you know, it's not private anyway, but they cannot identify it in anything they do.
Well, they wouldn't be on my property, but for the context of their employment with the district. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, it'd be one thing if they were, sure, you can't tell them that they can't photograph something that anybody could drive by. But again, these are very personal matters for people. And I think we're all well aware of the incident where it was posted with somebody crawling through a window of someone's house. I think we're aware of fairly significant car accidents where people have been injured, that even though the patient is not identifiable, if my child was in an accident and the next day I saw that car on a social media site, I would be upset. And that is my issue.
Yeah, I think the latter case, what you're talking about, was actually the picture taken by the CHP, not anyone from the district. And the language we have is pretty clear about saying you cannot do anything which compromises patient confidentiality. You just can't. It's prohibited in the policy, and they've agreed to it.
Patient confidentiality.
So if you could figure out that it was your child by seeing the car, that's violating patient confidentiality, I guess.
Well, I would know it was my child because I would know I might know that my child was the one in the accident. Even if my license plate wasn't on there, and then seeing the scene of an accident plastered all over Cambria's social media, I just don't think that's appropriate.
They're not really allowed to do that under the language here. It's simple, but it's clear. They can't.
So they wouldn't be able
they
to
are or are not allowed to do that.
Privacy. Yeah.
They are not allowed to take a picture that would identify a car?
They can't do anything which compromises patient care or privacy.
So if you can identify it, that it's a white Toyota Camry, they shouldn't be able to take that photo and post it.
Well, there's lots of white Toyota Camrys, I guess. But they can't do anything which compromises patient care or privacy. And that's pretty clear, and they've agreed to it, and I'm pretty sure they intend to abide by it. So I think we're where we want.
I guess what we can do is we can see how it goes.
Yes.
And if something comes up that doesn't appear to one or more board members to abide by that, then we can pursue it through human resources channels.
Absolutely. And that'd be a violation of what they've agreed to. And they've said, if there's a problem, call us. They're not trying to do anything inappropriate. They're really not. So I think we ended up.
I don't want to belabor the conversation, but what I don't feel as though my point is being responded to. I'm curious as to the other board members, Lori or Bill. I mean, am I reflecting something that's purely my opinion?
No, I think I understand as well that, you know, patient privacy and all, but if you post that picture, it is something that may be hurtful to a family member or a close friend or whatever, because they know the person that's been involved. And once they post it, it's posted. Even if it's taken back down or they say, gosh, I'm sorry, it's been done. And so when I read through that, I was fine with everything until I got to the very last line where it said they can post it through their union site. But who approves what they post on the union site? That's where I was like, I didn't think that there was any permission being asked, say, of Mike or anybody reviewing that, that they would just be able to submit it through the union site, Facebook site.
We have a separate section on the union site, which has all the same qualifiers. You cannot post anything which identifies a license plate. You cannot post anything which identifies a house number. You cannot post anything which identifies a patient. They have a First Amendment right to have a union site, but they've agreed to all sorts of restrictions on that, which most unions don't, to be honest. They've been more than agreeable.
I think we should wait and see how it spins out, see how they interpret the agreement. And if it's not something in practice that we're comfortable with over time, we go back at them.
We can absolutely do that.
Yeah, and I would agree to that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree to that.
BC Lamelli, how about you?
Yeah, I would agree to that. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that I understand what a Director Cecilia and Director Lori are saying, but it's basically, we all know the HIPAA violation, and we know that they would use this for educational purposes and to learn from those experiences, being a healthcare professional myself. So I would agree to go ahead and let's give them a chance. And I think that I know the paramedics, they will follow these rules. It's very clear cut. I don't see any problem with it myself. So I would agree to go ahead and do it.
Okay. Is there any public comment, Christy or Harry?
I think that in reading through it and looking at it, that it's an appropriate policy. I have the same question as if there is any review before the pictures would be posted, but I think you have to let it, it would be appropriate to just let it go ahead and see how well it works. I've known these paramedics for years, and I know that they use discretion in most cases, and that with this policy in place, that they would even be more diligent about what they were putting up on the website.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. Yep.
Any other public comment? Okay. Any further discussion? Well, then I would entertain a motion to approve attachment A as written.
So moved.
Bill Rice moves. Any second?
I second it.
CC Lamelli seconds. Okay. Take a roll call vote, please.
Okay. Vicki Fetteroff?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Lori Millior?
No.
Cecilia Montalvo?
No.
Cecilia Lamelli?
Yes.
Okay. The yes carries 3-2.
Okay.
The first. Going on to agenda item E2. I guess, Bill Avery, you can leave us.
I am doing that right now. Have a good night, folks. Good talking to you.
Appreciate it.
Jeff, I don't know if you want to continue with us or drop off. It's up to you.
It's at the pleasure of the board president, whatever you decide.
Do we have any controversial items to go?
You never know.
Never know. Let's see, finance, CSDA.
Well, the contract, but that's pretty.
Vaccination. Did you have a chance to look at the vaccination contract, Jeff?
I did.
And so it was drawn up by county council. I guess it's pretty straightforward, and we've verified that we have the insurance coverage. So
it is. If you have the insurance coverage, and I did notice it's terminable by either party at any time if things aren't working out. And my only question was, there is a it's an attachment that identifies the reimbursement, and so as long as that is sufficient to cover the costs, I don't see any problems with the contract.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Okay. Well, thank you all. And Mike, just text me if something comes up, and I'll jump back on.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate
thank you all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay. So agenda item E2. Primary Care Services Proposal Ad Hoc Committee, Cecilia?
Yes, I think we might have touched on this briefly at the last meeting, but as you know, the RFP is out, and we've heard from, we know that UCSF will not be responding, and I'm trying to think, Mike, is anybody else said no?
I don't believe so. That was the only no, you know, that no way, we're not.
And we did hear affirmatively that CHC will be responding. So yeah. that was positive.
Yeah.
So that, as you know, the deadline is still a month away for that. But today I wanted to ask for a board action to form a special ad hoc. This would not be a standing committee. But an ad hoc committee of the board for the purpose of reviewing the proposals and getting potentially some community input about what is good for the community. I thought it was premature to come with like a list of names. I just wanted to get approval in concept. And what I would also ask is for, I haven't lived here as long as any of you, and would truly appreciate recommendations for this committee. And now of course Jeff is off, so this may have been a Jeff question, but it's not really. I think one of the questions I had, somebody I thought of that I just don't know how everybody feels about this, I was wondering whether you thought it was appropriate to ask Dr. Gong to be on this committee. He has been a physician here for many years, and if anybody knows, you know, what it's like to practice here, I think I've told you that he's interested in this process simply because he does see retirement. He's interested in this process because, not that he's planning his retirement imminently, but he would like to see a physician in town for the day when he does retire. So he has been fairly engaged in wanting to know what's going on here. That was one idea I had. But today's request is that we form a special committee and that you all help me with the membership on that committee.
Well, a name that came to my mind besides Dr. Gong was Dr. Hernandez.
Oh, yes.
And I think with his experience of taking and setting up, I guess he initially set up a clinic in McAllen, Texas,
mm-hmm.
and he grew it to an 800-bed hospital. I think he would be a perfect individual to evaluate proposals.
Great.
He certainly has the background and the experience for that. Mm-hmm.
Cecilia, I just want to understand what the goal of having the committee is. And where I'm going is this committee to review responses to the RFP and ultimately select one and make a recommendation to the board that this is the one that should be chosen? And some, if that's true, or some of that is true, I am concerned about the fact that the board may think differently about the response or the recommendation and may not approve it. And where does that leave the process at that point?
Thank you for bringing up that issue, Bill. So let me be clear. I don't see this committee as being the right body to select, if you will, or to make a decision and then submit that for the board's recommendation. I mean, I think this is a significant enough issue for the district that that decision and the review of the proposals ultimately, I think, should be with the board. I do think that having additional community input, particularly from people who understand some of the issues involved in problems that people have today getting healthcare, I mean, some of us do, it's really, I would just like a broader level of community engagement. We don't get a whole lot of people attending our meetings, and an issue like this, I think, just deserves a little bit of a bigger forum in terms of soliciting input, but not deferring the responsibility of the board. I absolutely see this as a board decision.
Well, first of all, an ad hoc committee can have two board members on it. And since there are financial aspects, I think Bill's participation in that ad hoc committee would be a perfect addition. That's mm-hmm. number one. Number two, in addition to reaching out to Dr. Gong and Dr. Hernandez, I think you ought to reach out to Barbara Bronson Gray simply because she has so much experience with, getting Tenet in here and the pitfalls of why that didn't work out. So I think if you had an ad hoc committee consisting of Dr. Gong, Dr. Hernandez, Barbara Gray, Bill Rice, and yourself, I think you'd have a great committee.
Excuse me, I would like to join that committee. I'm just
so there's a problem.
Well, I
because you cannot participate in any source selection regarding another company or CHC coming in. It's a conflict of interest.
I understand that, but if you would allow me to some time, I could also look for people that would be interested on being this committee. But I know Dr. Gong and I know Dr. Hernandez, and if
right.
you give me some time, I could look for some other people.
That's perfect.
Thank you.
That's perfect. It's just that you yourself can't participate. Number one, a third board member can't participate. But number two, there's the obvious, conflict of interest. But to the extent that you can find other community members that would be helpful, then please let Cecilia Montalvo know that, and then she can reach out on a formal basis to them. Is that sound like what you want to do?
Yes, I would like to, because I would like to... extend it out to some Spanish-speaking people that work in our, that live in our community. There's a lot of other people that are vested in our community besides the healthcare workers who actually participate in healthcare. I'd like to maybe pull some of those people in.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd really welcome your suggestions, Cece. I would note that Dr. Hernandez and Dr. Gong are obviously very engaged in.
I mean, Abel Martinez.
Yeah, I just don't know how well he is.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't either. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe
please share any ideas you have with me offline over email or
Yeah. Even maybe Christy Jenkins might be interested. Christy? I don't know.
You're muted.
You're muted, Christy.
I know. I just unmuted myself. As a clinical laboratorian, I was instrumental working with Damon Reference Laboratories and setting up laboratory services in within clinics that were already operating. And I do have background in most of the clinics that are here. And I would be happy to give input for it if that would be what you would want. I have a question about how the committee, the ad hoc committee, and are you reviewing the RFPs to make sure that they are compliant with what was asked of them, to make sure that the RFP fits the requirements? And then if they all, that would be step number one. And then step number two, to evaluate them based on financial ability to be able to be within the community. I think there's two parts to it, if I'm not mistaken. I think when I see an ad hoc committee looking at reviewing the RFPs, the first criteria would be, have they filled out the RFP correctly and answered questions that are being asked? And then after that, you know, go on one step further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until you see what we get, it's hard to know the extent to which that issue will be an issue. One of the unusual things perhaps about the RFP is that it's broad. Right. So we didn't articulate a set of requirements for being selected. We indicated to the respondents what kinds of things we wanted to hear from them in thinking about their proposals. So, sure, I think there's a bit of both of that in there. If we don't have enough information from the respondents, then it'd be hard to get enthusiastic about it. But to the extent that the RFP was broad and that it could be, Christy, a matter of the service name. It could be the level of practitioner, you know, because I do think the unmet need here appears to be more on the physician services side than not. And so those kinds of things, and until we get them, I don't know what we'll really be talking about. And I really hope that we're in the position that we're looking at all kinds of options. That may not be the case either. So it's a little bit of a wait and see, but we'd love to have you on the committee if you're interested.
Okay. Any further discussion? I guess what you're looking for, Cecilia, is
approval to form the committee.
Authority to form such a committee.
Mm-hmm. And I guess in that, I think to identify Bill and myself as the board members who would.
And Bill, do you agree to participate that way?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Well, I think then you have the two board members that will participate. And then it's up to you to reach out to community members to form the rest of the committee. And then you can simply report to us. Let's see, our next board meeting is going to be March 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that'll be 4 days after the proposals mm-hmm. are in. So you can simply report to us who the members of the committee are and mm-hmm. how many proposals we got. So you will chair it, Cecilia.
Terrific. And again, you know, one of the things, and Mike, you may have a role in here too. Early on, there were people writing to us, if you recall, who were concerned when Dr. Lewis left. I don't know if you want to look at any of those pieces of correspondence and see if
people seem like they would be interested.
I could, if you'd like, invite those people.
Well, you can just review the correspondence to see if there's any benefit there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so I don't think we need to vote so much as simply you're authorized to do it. I don't think there's any board member that objects to it at this point. Is there? Okay, so let's leave it at that and move on to the next item. So this is the mid-year budget review. Mike?
Yes, and I'll give a very brief introduction. We've been working on this, and thanks to Bill, he's helped me learn a lot about this process, but we reached, we put this together Wednesday, I think, of last week or so, and it's presented, as an adjustment, our mid-year budget adjustment based on what we've predicted versus what is actual. You've had, the board members have had a chance to review that. Bill, do you want to walk through the process of?
I'd be happy to. We made changes on many of the line items, and most of those changes that we made were relatively minor. But let me give you the highlights. The first thing we did is we increased ambulance income in the month of February and March, and the increase was warranted by the activity in January. We had 54 transports in the month of January. We have been averaging about 38, 40 transports a month. So we had a good month in January, and there's always a lag between the time we do the transport and when we see the revenue come in. So we increased both February and March to reflect the increased number of transports in January. We took a look at the taxes, both general and special assessment. This has been a year where the county has had some challenges. They're working from home, and sometimes they get behind. Sometimes they get ahead of themselves. But what we did is we just trued up the both the general tax and the special assessment to our original projections at the beginning of the year. We're comfortable with those projections.
You froze.
Uh-oh.
Bill, you froze.
We may have lost.
He can't respond.
There you go. Bill is
there.
Yeah,
you're both a little bit.
What was the last thing you heard?
the
last little bit.
You trued up the revenue.
Okay, the tax revenue is fine.
Yeah, tax revenue.
The other change we made is to the Monterey contracts. Mike talked about that we had a combination of four in the month of December and January, and we added those in the month of February, and I understand of the $6,000 we budgeted in February, we have already received $4,500 of it, so which is good news. We added...
Anyway, we received all $6,000.
Yeah, we got $6,000 today.
Oh, you got all six? Good.
Yeah.
And they still have one more that's outstanding since then.
Okay. The miscellaneous income... We added the last payment that we're expecting from Project Heartbeat for the uniforms and equipment that has arrived, and Tim gave us an update earlier in the meeting about that. And we added the positive impact of the anticipated grant that Mike talked about earlier in the meeting in the month of June of $40,000. The actual grant is going to be far in excess of that, but we wanted to be conservative, and we put $40,000 in there for the month of June. Down in expenses, we basically just trued things up to what run rates were during the first 7 months, because this budget now is 7 months of actual and 5 months of projections. Trying to look for some of the highlights on this.
The CalPERS?
The CalPERS, yes. CalPERS, we trued that up to what our run rate was for the first 7 months. We don't expect much of any variances on a go forward on that line.
Okay.
We still have budgeted $10,000 for the election. This is the election that was in November. We have to pay a portion of that. We're still waiting for the county to send us a bill for that.
So far.
We adjusted a little bit the fuel. We adjusted that down because our number of transports have been down. And the last billing we got from CCSD was about $3,800. So we took down in the latter part of the year the originally budgeted amounts. Want to put in there that we have the radios, the cost of the radios, 9 of the Motorola radios. We put the cost down in vehicle payments and communication equipment. We have the cost down there. We spread it over a couple of months. And the last item of note is down, way down the bottom, the miscellaneous, the $10,000, Cecilia, for your consultant for the primary care. We put $5,000 in February and another $5,000 in April, anticipating that that would somewhat match the billing.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the highlights. Does anybody have any specific questions about any specific line?
Is there any public comment? Okay.
I would just commend you and Mike. To be able to look at the first 7 months and then project out to the end of the year and still be so close to where you thought we'd be, that's it's very impressive.
Okay. I also do want to highlight the fact that every decision that the board makes often has a financial impact. And even a decision the board has made to move our meetings to the evenings carries with it a cost. Okay, there's overtime for an employee that has to be calculated, and that's going to be about $75 a month. And so we're talking, I think that's going to come out to about $9,900 a year. I, as the finance person, are always looking for every area that we can control costs and save money. And I would like us to keep that cost in mind and in the future revisit the need to have the meetings in the evening. If we can get the meetings back to working hours between 9 and 5 somehow, there's money that we can be saved by doing that. So I would be remiss if I did not point that out and talk that we should be looking at items like that in the future, that if we can change the meeting times, there's money to be saved.
Okay. Any other discussion or questions? Okay. Well, I would entertain a motion to approve the revised budget as presented.
So moved.
Cecilia moves. I hear a second.
Second.
Is that Lori?
Well, Bill as well. So.
He doesn't get it. Okay. So moved and seconded. Roll call.
Did you set her off?
Yes.
Bill Wright?
Yes.
Lori Melior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Cecilia Lamelli?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So the next item is something that, even though it's got Mike's name on it, it was brought to our attention to, and I asked that it be put on the agenda because Cecilia Montalvo said that she'd had a good experience with the Association of California Health Districts. So I don't know how we want to proceed with the discussion. Right now we're members of CSDA and you're presented with information with regards to the cost of each. And I will say this much, that the other day CSDA held a chapter meeting, which I guess they do, mm-hmm. what, monthly?
I believe so, yeah.
And they invited a state senator. Gosh, what was his name? Laird?
Yes, Senator Laird.
Who then brought along an assistant. And when we mentioned that we were having trouble getting grants approved, he said, well, the next time you submit one, you let me know what the particulars are. And he gave us his legislative assistant gave us his email address. And so we have now a way to maybe leverage that membership into maybe assuring that we have a better chance of getting speedy funding. It always helps I don't know how many of you watch Bill Maher, and I won't ask, but he's now posting a sign at the beginning of his show that says, this is how many days I've been waiting for approval for my solar electric power at my house. And so we were talking about it today on our way to get Susie's COVID shot. And I said, you know, when I called Blake Fixler telling him that we were wanting to start work on paving the parking lot in like 3 days, and did I really need an encroachment permit? He had somebody out that day, mm-hmm. and we had the encroachment permit taken care of the very next day.
Been very helpful.
And so I can see the value of CSDA. Now, maybe, Cecilia, you can talk about your experience with ACHD.
Can I?
Oh, sorry, Lori.
I was just going to say, from a grant perspective, he's our state senator, I believe, for this region. And so we should be able to reach out to him at any time, no matter what yes. organization we belong to.
Exactly. Yeah, true enough.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, I asked Mike about this, about whether or not we had ever considered the Association of Healthcare Districts, because when I was associated with the Sequoia Healthcare District in Redwood City, the Healthcare District Association was the one that I was familiar with. They're extremely active. And as I look at this side by side, I see a lot of similarities. I definitely don't see us belonging to both because we're not large enough to be paying that kind of dues. What I would note to all of you is that, and this is maybe just how I feel and curious about, is that special services districts that are not healthcare related are very different, right? They're, mm-hmm. they're just kinds of the things that they're doing are things that, you know, our communities care very much about, but they're not necessarily pertinent to us. I do think that as far as programmatically at a board level, and I potentially for Mike as administrator, because the California Association of Healthcare Districts is exclusively healthcare, it's extremely relevant generally. Now, the only thing I would say is that for those of you who know healthcare districts in California, many, not all of them, there are many that are similar to ours, but many of them are hospital-based, and so you'll get that flavor from
this association, but they're very, very focused again on healthcare. And I don't mean, I appreciate, Iggy, you're putting this on. Did want to make everybody aware of the other association. I'm not necessarily knowledgeable enough to advocate for one or another. I just had an extremely positive history with the healthcare one.
I have a question for Mike. Mike, our access to the SDRMA insurance, is that exclusively through CSDA?
My understanding is that they are their own entity, SDRMA. However, we get a discount because we're CSDA members, and that also carries across to training. You all just completed the training on target solutions, which is provided by to us at no additional cost by SDRMA, where normally we would pay for that contract for training, online training, which it's not just the training you did. We use it for all of our online employee training. So there's a lot of benefits that I've come to appreciate from CSDA. I'm not against the other association per se. I don't have much experience except a year ago I looked at them to see if it was something, because it was healthcare district specific, I wanted to see if it was something we should also belong to. And at that time, as I looked at it briefly and talking with a prior board member, it was a lot of the features are redundant. And there wasn't a clear advantage to joining both. And CSDA appears to me to be a larger organization that may have a little bigger dog in the hunt when it comes to lobbying. I don't know that for sure, but they seem to be very active. Of course, that's been my experience because I've been dealing with them for a little over a year. So I'm not unhappy with CSDA. In fact, I'm very much appreciate what they bring to the table for us. I think it's fair to do an analysis, a side-by-side analysis like we did and look at the features. But my recommendation would be that we stay with CSDA, belonging to both, because there's another one out there too, there's a National Rural Healthcare, I can't remember the acronym now, but it's a national organization. But, you know, you can go out and join all these different organizations. I don't know that a district our size, it would really be a benefit and other than a cost, per se.
So when I look through the comparison, the health association does have the rural health component to it, mm-hmm. as one of its members. And also with the cross comparison for certification and training and those types of things, it seems that they also offer those types of trainings.
Yeah, so CSDA in fact, I got a grant, and I'm sorry, a scholarship last year. Simone and I both shared a scholarship for some of CSDA's administrative level training that they have, conferences and so forth, which turned into online. But there is a special district administrator certification, SDA, through them, and I'm working on that. It's a 3-year process. I will eventually take a test, and if I pass that test, I want another shingle on the wall, but it's good training for me, as well as it will provide us another discount. The district gets a discount if I get that certification. And there's a couple other things that we can talk about later about the district can do to achieve some more discounts on our SDRMA insurance and so forth. So, and the other one may have similar type programs as well. I'm just more aware of the CSDA's programs. They have a very good size database of like RFPs. I posted an RFP on there. You can go in there and look up RFPs if you're trying to write one or whatever. And so they, in fact, our in December, our board passed the district policies, which I got the template for that from CSDA.
Yeah.
Hey, Christy, did you want to mention something?
Yes. Up until about 2014, the healthcare district was a member of both CSDA and ACHD, and the decision was made at the at one time at, and it was in 2014 to stay primarily with CSDA. Larger organization, the SDRMA, for our insurance was much more cost effective for us. When Mike mentioned the opportunities for education, I took the leadership conference through CSDA, and all of the services district board members usually take that training also. Former members of our organization have gone through the administrative training. As far as those webinars are concerned for CSDA that keep our costs down, the board used to do participate in the webinars also, because the more time that you spend educating yourself with the webinars that they have, the more of a break that you get on your rate with SDRMA also. They have huge conferences, and they have the ability to be able to reach out in areas. There's thousands of services districts, and ACHD, it primarily became, and I just looked on their website today, they're of their 80 some members, more than 60% of them are hospital based, and their focus is with the healthcare districts that do have hospitals. So it's, I would advocate for CSDA also, just because the experiences that I have had with them.
Okay, thank you. Cece Lamelli, did you have some comments?
I think that it's important to, like Michael was saying, that his experience was with the CSDA. I like the ACHD, but I think I like the experience that Michael said, and also what Christy said, so I would agree to stay with CSDA. I've heard a little bit about ACHD. It seems like it's a little bit more, I just feel like what you can get more with CSDA is more important, that I feel, with members and with the board at this time. That's what I think.
By the way, I did send, just so to make sure you all got it, I sent an email today with a link to a webinar coming up for it's best practices for board members.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say thank you for sending that to me.
Yeah, and it's free.
And it's free. Thank you. I will.
Okay, well, unless there's a motion to switch, I don't think any action is necessary. Okay, hearing none, let's move on to the next item. SLO County vaccination contract. Hopefully you all have had a chance to review it. Mike, do you want to say anything about it?
It's a standard contract, FEMA, that they copied from FEMA. It's I've seen it before, it's not unusual. And essentially it's gonna be backdated to cover us, because we've already been participating in the vaccinations. We've been sending our EMTs and paramedics over to the vaccination clinics, giving shots, helping out with crowd control, whatever their task is, and that is reimbursable to the district at those rates that are listed there. So this just makes that happen, and with your approval, I will execute the contract. There was a question about the insurance. I've already received the insurance certificate from SDRMA for the county for this, and so as soon as you approve it tomorrow morning, I can execute, and we're moving along.
Any questions, comments? Okay.
Move to approve.
Okay. Second?
I second it.
Who was that?
Lamelli. I second it.
Oh, Lamelli. Okay.
Did you set her off?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Laura Melior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Cecilia Lamelli.
Yes.
Thank
Okay, the last item on the open session is the Cal OES Designated Agent Resolution. Mike?
Yes, and this is similar to the last one in a sense. This relates back to, where am I? Try to get the right page.
P6, page 67.
Oh, thank you. Glass is fogging up again. If y'all recall, possibly, the slope
failure
issue. Yeah, the slope thing, going back some time ago. I was contacted by Cal OES they granted the district approximately $10,000 at the time for costs involved with that issue. And it's a contract or it's a program was never closed out. And they need me to sign some papers to close it out, basically to say that we spent the money on things that we were supposed to, that we agreed to. But I can't sign because two or three, four ministers ago, Mr. Sayers, is the designated agent for the district with Cal OES. So this document that they sent me, it will, if you approve and we get a signature, actually, Simone will sign it because she'll take the vote. But if you vote to approve it, it will enable me to be the agent with Cal OES for that purpose and anything in the future that goes with Cal OES type grants, disaster grants, whatever.
Any discussions? No. Any public comments? Okay, hearing none. Would you take a roll call vote, please, Simone?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Federal.
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Laura Milliard?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Cecilia Lamelli?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to adjourn to closed session.
Okay, so everybody, you know, you log off and then use that other link to log back in.
Okay.
Okay.
That I sent you.
Right, and then you're going to take care of logging us in from here.
Yes, I will end that.